We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Book of Amos, if you would turn there, chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, or as we are concerned today, those that are complacent in the church, those that are satisfied, those that are pleased with the way things are going. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calna, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath. The drape then go down to Gat of the Philistines. He, be they better than these kingdoms, or their borders greater than your borders? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall. That chant of the sound of the viol, and that's just a medieval string musical instrument, like the violin, maybe a little bit larger, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drank wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ornaments. But they are not grieved for the afflictions of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretches themselves shall be removed. As I was studying and praying and with my mind, on the thought that it was the first Sunday in a new year, sometimes we preach those New Year services and talk about those things. And it seemed like this is what the Lord laid on our hearts. Seemed like this is what that He wants us to talk about this morning. I realized this, that this sermon probably not going to get me nominated for Pastor of the Year. Of course, I've been 36 years and I've not won it yet, so no need to think that I'm going to win it this year. But anyway, with that being said, it may speak to our hearts. I hope that it does. And I want to just say that much, and if I would take a text this morning, my text would simply be those first two words there in the first verse, in the first sentence, at ease. At ease this morning. And I want to say that much of the 21st century Christianity is displeasing to God. Our technology, our methodology, our facilities, our equipment have produced their own problems. And I think we understand that. We've become largely dependent on these things in our churches and in our ministries. If we're not careful, we'll be like Israel, and we will become at ease, in Zion, because we have all of these things. Many today have the attitude that says someone else can surely do it. But I don't know whether you've ever thought about it or not, but we are the someone else to someone else. And if everybody is looking for somebody else to do it, then there's no one left to do it. And so God gave us the responsibility to win and to baptize and to teach the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them that observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." In these last days, and I can truly say, I believe within my heart that we are in the last days, even fundamental Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches are failing to understand the gravity of the Great Commission getting people born into the family of God, getting people saved from eternity in a lake of fire. With that being said, and I want you to know there is only one salvation today. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Amen. If you don't get saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't get saved.
That's right.
Because there is no other way to be saved.
Amen.
And if you don't get saved, you're going to be lost forever and burn in a lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone.
Right.
Did you hear what I said? I said, if you don't get saved, you will burn forever in a lake of fire, and you say, I don't like that. Well, I would reply back to you, I heard that one time before I got saved, and I didn't like it either. And that's why I got saved. Because one day I heard a preacher say, and I decided that I didn't want to go there. I made up my mind that I didn't want to go to that place. Even though I was lost, I believed that what he was saying. I believed the Bible was the Word of God, and I decided that day, if that was in the Word of God that it said you must be born again or you'd burn in a lake of fire, then I decided that I should believe it. And I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The commission to tell others about Christ is a duty, the Bible says, and should be a ministry to every blood-bought Christian. In every Bible-believing church. Sadly, this all-important job is largely undone by the majority of church people. I think it's become too many at ease. But the Bible says there are some things that we're supposed to know. I said last Wednesday night, I believe it was on 106.9, I heard they said they did a survey, not them, but somebody that does surveys did a survey and said 8 out of 10 Christians never share Jesus with an unsaved person. 8 out of 10 people, 8 out of 10 professing Christians never share their faith with anybody else, with an unsaved person. So there's some things that we need to know. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says this, know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, furious, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Doesn't that sound like the world today? Doesn't that sound just exactly like the world today? And look at what this At Ease crowd did. This At Ease crowd here in Amos chapter 6, the first thing they did was, look in verse 1. They looked to the world for help. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel come. Israel had put their trust in Samaria for their wisdom and for their protection. They were no longer looking to the God of heaven. They were looking to the world as their ally to protect them should the enemy come after them. God says to them in verse 2, I want you to look at it, that they should look around at some other strong cities. He said there are some cities just as strong as Samaria is, that were just as big and powerful and as great as Samaria. So the first thing they did was, when they became at ease in Zion, is they started to look to the world for help. The second thing the Bible says in verse 3 is they believed there was time to repent and get saved. Ye put far away the evil day. They thought the Lord's coming, and they thought the Lord's judgment were a long way off.
and they could get away with what they were doing because God hadn't done anything to them up to this point. There are people today who says the same thing. We've got time to get saved. We've got plenty of time to get saved. What's the rush? I feel good. Got a good medical report. Everything looks good. I've got plenty of time to get saved. The truth is, the unsaved don't know if they'll have one more day to get saved. They don't know if they have one more day to live. And Christians, us as Christians, don't know if we'll have one more day to serve the Lord and live for Him. I hope I do, but I don't know. And so every day is a new day. Every day is a special day. Every day is a precious day. And it may be our very last day. And what we do in this day is extremely important. Maybe the last one we have. I hope I can say that we're all going to have many days. But it may be the very last one. So that was the second thing they did. They believed that there were time to repent and get saved. The third thing is their negligence encouraged a violent society. Verse 3, ye cause the seed of violence to come near. Just as these people promoted violence in their society, we see every day that violence is promoted in our society. Our children are growing up on a diet of violence. In other words, what I'm saying, I'm not talking about defending ourselves against enemies, going to war. We absolutely should do that. But I'm talking about violence for the sake of violence. I'm talking about bloodshed for the sake of bloodshed. Well, every day, as we've seen on television and movies and videos, and especially on the internet, it's nothing to show arms being severed from people's bodies. It's nothing to see heads severed from off of people's bodies. Killing and spilling blood are everywhere. And all of this causes the seed of violence to come near to each one of us. It comes into our homes through television. Comes into our homes through movie and all these kind of things. And you know what? All of these bloody images are engraved in our minds. And worst of all of these bloody images are engraved in the minds of our children. And our nation is promoting this garbage. And then we wonder why there's so much violence in our society. I'll tell the lawmakers what to prevent this a whole lot more than taking guns away from innocent people that's trying to protect themselves. Is to go to this bunch in Hollywood and tell them to quit producing such violent movies. That puts this kind of images and give people these kind of ideals. But no, they won't do that. There's too much revenue comes from that kind of stuff. They lived in luxury and laziness. Look in verse 4. They lie upon the bed of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. They eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. These people lived in luxury. They stretched out, the Bible says, upon their beds of ivory. They became food-oriented. And not only did they become food-oriented, but they became pleasure-oriented. I believe these were the original couch potatoes. I really do. And we have too many of those today. Being a couch potato simply is just a form of laziness. That's all that it is. But these people were not only lazy, they were gluttonous. They were so lazy that they were eating out of their stores, grabbing the closest thing at hand. They were like today's crowd that just couches out. And you know what they do? And maybe some of you are here, it falls in that category. If you do, I'm not going to apologize. I'm just telling you the truth. But what those couch potatoes do? They're too lazy to get up off the couch and go get them a good meal to eat. So they just sit there and munch on potato chips and ice cream. All of that kind of stuff. They became at ease in Zion. They became at ease in Zion. They became entertainment oriented. Chant to the sound of the viol. And invent to themselves instruments of music. Many of today's Christians find it difficult to sit and pay attention. to what the preacher is saying because they become so entertainment oriented. In other words, and they'll leave a good church, go to find one that'll entertain them. If that's why some people choose to leave this church is they want to go somewhere to be entertained, then I'd say it would be best for them to go, because I don't ever intend to make this an entertainment place. I want this to be a place where the Word of God is taught and preached. And so, but people leaving good churches and going to try to find them a church where that they're entertained. I know when I was working at the Eastman, multitudes of people would come and tell me that they'd quit their church. That was a Bible preaching church, to go to some of these churches that was had the rock bands and all those kind of things. Now listen, they'll leave a good church. They want to be entertained. They want to be able to tap their toe and clap their hands and be entertained throughout the whole service. Parents who seek the entertainment, churches are forsaking their children. Instead of teaching them how to sit down and be still and pay attention to the pastor and to listen for what he's preaching, they want their children themselves to be dazzled and to get all their senses involved in the services. You know I'm telling the truth. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And then they become a party in society. They drink wine in bowls. How about that? I've seen pictures of college kids on television with cans of beer on their heads, with tubes coming from those cans running down into their mouths. I guess they think it takes too long to pour it in a glass and drink it from a glass. Shame, we have become a party in society. They were a beauty-driven society. Look in verse 6. They anoint themselves with the chief ointment. Everyone wanted to be beautiful and look pretty, look perfect. Billions of dollars are spent every year in this country on types of beauty products just to keep themselves pretty and to try to live and for the moment. You can pay over $100 for just a tube of cream that'll take away the wrinkles. And people will be glad to spend that. But I want to tell you something. We people, even though you're doing that, we people know that it's not working because we still see the wrinkles. So you probably need to save your $100. And just let the wrinkles come. That's a part of the nature process that takes place. But anyway, ambition of the age is to live a good life. To live a high life and take our ease. Like the people in our passage, we have become fools and we become neglectful of the things of God. Another prophet gave the same message in the book of Haggai. He said in chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, and the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then come the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. You live in your fancy houses. You live in your houses of luxury, and the house of God lies in waste." And so it was all about themselves instead of the things of the Lord, and they forsook the house of God. Living in a time today in the 21st century, to the majority of people, it's all about themselves. It's all about their own agenda. It's all about what they want to do. It's all about what is pleasing to them rather than the things of God. Listen, look what the Bible says. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you bought a home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in waste. And you run every man unto his own house. God is saying to those people, he says, you come to me and you ask for blessings. But God said, but I'm not going to give them to you. He said, I'm going to blow away what you now have because you don't care about me or my house. You don't care about the things of God. I'd be very careful if I had these luxuries. And that was all I was concerned about. And God gave them to me. I want to say to you, whether you recognize it or not, anything that you have, God has given it to you. And any time that God so chooses, He can take it away from you. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We have seen that on the news just this past week. How the floods comes down in places that has never flooded before. $250,000 homes are just washed away. Everything. God said, I can take it away from you. God said, because you don't care about the things of God. Today we hear so much of this prosperity preaching. They'll tell you that God will bless you if you'll send your money to their ministries. I got a little truth for you this morning. I got something for you this morning that's straight from the Word of God. That God will bless you if you'll give your tithes and offering to your local church. That's preaching the Word of God. That's where God meant for your money to go. And so, you don't have to send it to some of those fellas to get the blessings of God. Listen, that's the kind of foolishness that's going on in so-called Christianity. So-called people are being tossed to and fro by the winds of every kind of doctrine. They believe everything that comes down the pipe, if it has the name of Jesus attached to it. I want to tell you something. There's some things out there that has the name of Jesus attached to it that it's not in the Word of God, and Jesus has nothing to do with it. And so I get tired of people attaching the name of Jesus to things that Jesus don't have anything to do with. That's contrary to the Word of God. And so, listen, God help us. When our number one goal is not getting people saved, and when doing the Lord's work takes second place behind our own work. The word at ease means to be to rest, to be quiet. To just be lax, be loose. Doesn't all that sound like modern Christianity? Listen, means to be free from pain, discomfort. Churches all across the country are free from pain, discomfort, because they don't tell people anything from the Bible that will upset them. They don't hear anything when they come from the Word of God, from the church. They don't hear anything that will offend them. When they come to the church, they don't hear anything that will get on their toes. In other words, they don't get any help. If you come to the church and the Word of God don't offend you or get on your toes or convict you or something, then we didn't do you no good. Listen, the Bible reminds us that the time will come when they will not endear sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Somebody told me just a while ago that somebody told them they left this church because they thought there might be something better out there somewhere. They might be. I couldn't tell you that there's not something better out there somewhere. I believe it's pretty good right here. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't have a clue what they're looking for. I believe we do right here. We do everything that the Word of God says for us to do. We preach and teach the Word of God. We stand on biblical standards. We have some beliefs and some doctrines. So just like they say that grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence, we go to church to worship the Lord. It ought to hurt a little bit when we hear a man of God preaching from the Bible. None of us are perfect. The revelation that we're eating, they become comfortable with the status quo. When we become comfortable with our situation in life, when we become comfortable with how we worship, when we come comfortable with our church facilities, when we come comfortable with the size of our congregation. When I first became a trustee in one of the churches where I've served as a trustee before I started preaching, we had a deacon's meeting one night, and I was trying to encourage them to go out visiting. One of the old deacons gathered me up after the meeting was over and said, "Oscar, just settle down. You're young and you're new. We've got just as many people in this church we need. More people you get, the more problems you have. Just, we got enough to pay the bills. Our offering's big enough. Just settle down, young man. You'll burn out one of these days." I'll never forget that. Come status quo. We're on dangerous ground when we say everything is all right. I'm spiritual enough. I give enough. I serve enough. I do enough. We walk on dangerous ground. We stop growing. When we stop dreaming and we stop striving. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." We ought to have a vision from the Word of God of what the church ought to be. We ought to have a vision from the Word of God what God wants us to do. We ought to have a vision from the church of God. We ought to have a dream and a purpose from the Word of God. And not become satisfied with status quo, because God is not satisfied with it. We should not be satisfied with the size of our Sunday school classes. I want to challenge anybody that holds an office as a teacher in this church. I hope that you'll take it upon yourself. Say, "I'm with the help of God, I'm going to try to build my class this year. I'm going to go out and find me some children somewhere. I'm going to visit them and I'm going to invite them to come and be in my Sunday school class." We need workers. We need people. When you took that job as a teacher, you became responsible. Try to get out and get some kids in. Try it again. We're not satisfied. Shouldn't be satisfied with the number of people getting saved. I'm definitely not satisfied with that. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." Well, you may be at ease in Zion then. Because we should not be satisfied of the lack of support that we give to missionaries. If people would give like they ought to give, we could do more of that. And that's what we need to be doing more of. That's what we need to be doing more. Is sending missionaries and helping missionaries to stay on the fields. We become callous about salvation. The good life blinds us to the needs of men's souls. We fail to realize that their plight is spiritual in eternity and eternal. We walk by people every day. And we do not see the inside. The human body is an eternal soul that will spend eternity either in heaven or hell.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.